I know Christmas was yesterday, and I know the passage I read a moment ago is the Christmas story as recorded in the book of Luke, and I want to just think about the shepherds a little bit this morning in my message. Of all the Christmas characters, I think the shepherds are the ones that I identify the most with, and if I was going to have, other than the little baby Jesus, if I was going to have a favorite character in the Christmas story, it wouldn't be Joseph. I can't identify with Joseph very much because, I didn't experience what Joseph experienced around that first Christmas. I can't identify with the wise men very, very much. And I'm glad nobody said amen when I mentioned that. But I can't identify with the wise men very much, the kings that came from the east. But I can identify with the shepherds because they were just common, ordinary folks going about their day-to-day routine, so to speak. And I'm so glad that God decided to announce to the shepherds, first of all, about the birth of the Savior. It tells me that the Savior's for everybody. You know, if he would have announced him in the king's court, we might have thought, well, maybe he was just for kings. But I'm glad that he announced him to just some common, ordinary folks because that tells us that he's for everybody. And I want you to notice the story of the shepherds. I'm sure many of you read it yesterday, perhaps from this same passage. We read it Friday night when we got together with my family. But I want you to just picture in your mind. You know, so many times we read the Bible, here's what I always try to do. I always try to put myself in their place. I always try to imagine what it would be like, for example, to have been a shepherd that night on those hills around Bethlehem. Here you are, you're doing something that you've probably done all your life. I mean, the shepherds that were there, their fathers were probably shepherds, their grandfathers were probably shepherds, and it was their trade, their life that they were used to. And they were there watching the sheep and had probably done it night after night after night after night. I mean, it was their routine. It was what they did. And when the night started out, there was no indication that this night was going to be any different than any other night. It was just going to be another night where they would, you know, watch the sheep, another night where they, at some point in time, would have dinner, another night when some of them would stay up and the others would maybe go to bed and sleep. They're on the hillside, perhaps. And so no indication that this night was going to be any different than any other night that they spent watching their sheep on the hills around Bethlehem. But this night was to be different than any night that they experienced. They were going to see something this night that no person had ever seen before. They were going to get a visit from an angel, and we read about it in verse 10 there, or verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now, just one angel to deliver the message. And I've tried to imagine what it must have been like to sit on those hills, not expecting anything different to happen, and all of a sudden see this bright light in the sky and see this angel and the glory of the Lord that's shown around him. You know, over in the book of Revelations and other parts of the Bible, we on the Mount of Transfiguration, for example, when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, three of them, the Bible said that he became as a bright white light. The glory of the Lord shone about him. And I always try to imagine what it must have been like to sit there on the hills of Bethlehem, see this angel with the glory of the Lord shining right about him. I think I'd react the same way they were. They did. The Bible said they were sore afraid. It means they were a lot afraid, big time afraid. Can you imagine what it must have been like for them? I mean, again, you weren't expecting anything different to happen, and then in the middle of your routine, here is this angel with the glory of the Lord shining right about him, and then he speaks, and he says, "Fear not," and I don't think it was just a churchy kind of voice. I think it was as loud as thunder. "Fear not! For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the angel said, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then the heavens were filled with other angels, the host of heaven, and praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Can you just imagine, Nick, what that must have been like? I mean, I think I would have been excited, but I would have been shaken in my boots, so to speak, saying, "Man, what is going on?" I mean, here's an angel that's given us a message from God. Here's the heavenly choir that's come and praise God. And I notice what the angels did, or the shepherds did next. They said, "We got to go see this thing. We've got to go into Bethlehem, and we've got to find this little baby that the angels told us about." The Bible says they went into Bethlehem. And I don't know how long it took them to find him. I don't think the star was there yet. But they found the Christ child. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just like the angels told them. And I don't think they just came and had like a 5-minute visit and then went back. I think they lingered. I think they told Mary and Joseph about the visit that they had from the angels and what the angels said. I think perhaps Joseph shared with them his dream that he had about Mary being pregnant. Mary perhaps told about her visit. You know, when you start talking about angels, Joseph said, "Hey, I had a visit from an angel." And Mary said, "I had a visit from the angel." And just the shepherd said, "Well, we had a visit from the angels." And I think they talked through the night about how God had spoke to each of them. Next day, perhaps, they were going back. And I want you to notice in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." They went back, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. You know, this time of year, if we're not careful, can be a depressing time of year. And here's why. We get out of our routine, and we sort of get on a sort of a high plane of existence at any holiday, but especially at Christmas, when we're joined by family. Perhaps folks come from out of town, family members come from out of town, and or else we go and visit them. We're off from work. We go to different gatherings where people that gather to celebrate the season. And we get out of our routine, and it takes, believe it or not, it takes extra energy to do that. Some of you, when you came in this morning, I could tell you were a little bit tired from everything that you probably took part in the last few days. And that's natural. That's how our bodies work. I mean, when we get out of our routine and we do something special like we've done the last few days, it takes extra energy. But here's what always happens. I mean, when you sort of have that burst of extra energy, what follows is a time of where you sort of got to pay for that, where you have less energy, where you get tired, and if you're not careful, where you get depressed. And it's a sad, sad thing that if you read the statistics, there's more suicides this week between Christmas and New Year's than there is any other week during the year. More people take their lives in this particular week than any other week during the year. And we've been out of our routine. Now, here's my question this morning. Here's the point I want to make. Sooner or later, for some of us, it will be this next week. For some of you, it'll be this next week, starting tomorrow. For others of us, it'll be the following week. And for others, it'll be sometime this week. You'll have to go back to your routine. You'll have to go back to what you do every day. You'll have to go back to the normal, the real world, real life. My niece graduated last Sunday. We didn't get to go, but when I saw her Friday night, I gave her a graduation card, and I wrote in her card, "Welcome to the real world." Now she's out looking for a job. She's going to go out looking for a job tomorrow. But she's going to go back to the. She's going to go into the real world, and we're going to go back to the real world that we sort of left maybe Wednesday or Thursday of last week, and we stepped out of our routine and we went into that special time. When the routine, we put aside the routine and we did some special things. Now, sooner or later, again, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, but you're going to have to get back into the routine. And if you're not careful, even we as Christians will go back into that routine a little bit depressed. And I want to hold up this morning the example of the shepherds and say, why should not we go back the same way the shepherds did? Why should we not go back to the routine that we left a few days ago, glorifying and praising God for all the things that we've heard and seen? All the things that we've experienced this holiday period as we've been reminded of the Christ child. I want you to notice three things about the shepherds that allowed them to go back, glorifying and praising God. And I submit to you this morning and hold out to you this morning that if you do these same three things, you could go back, not depressed, but you could go back glorifying and praising God. Number one, these shepherds met the Savior. These shepherds met the Savior. I know he was a little bitty baby. I know that he couldn't say words to them, but they met the Savior. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And they heard that message from the angels. They heard the message that said, hey, there's a little baby that's born in Bethlehem, and he's the promised one from God. He's your Savior. And they heard the message from God that Savior was born. And they said, we're going to go see. God's told us about this little baby. We're going to go see. And the Bible says they came with haste. They didn't waste any time. Yeah, I think they had a discussion. Maybe they had to elect somebody or draw straws to see who was going to stay with the sheep. But they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the little baby Jesus in the stable, him laying in the manger, just like the angel said. And they said, he's the one. He's the one that God has talked to us about. I want you to stop and think for just a minute. The angels, the message that the angels gave the shepherd was an unbelievable message. A message that God had sent the Savior into the world. Hey, I know they'd been expecting it. I know they'd been looking forward to it. I know that they'd seen the prophecy in the Old Testament as we have it recorded about this Savior that was going to come. I know shepherds among, probably better than anybody else, understood that this was going to be the sacrifice that God would offer for sins. I'm sure these shepherds were involved in raising sheep for the sacrifices that took place in the temples. In the synagogues back then, as they offered sacrifices to God. And they could understand it perhaps better than anybody else. But it was an unbelievable message. A message that God had sent the Savior into the world. I want to share an unbelievable message with you this morning. Brother Wendell almost stole it from me, but I'm going to tell it again. God loves you. That's an unbelievable message. God loves us. Every single person, from Ryan over here in the back to David up here in the front, every single person in between, God loves us. It's unbelievable because we don't deserve it. It's unbelievable because we're all sinners. It's unbelievable because if we got what we deserved, we would have the wrath and judgment and punishment of God on every single one of us in this room. We do not deserve the love of God, but He loves us. Amen. An unbelievable message. He loves us. And He sent His Son, as we read about in Luke chapter 2, as we read about in the Gospels, He sent His Son to live among us. Lived a perfect life. John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. One day He would go to a cross, and He would die on that cross. Not for any sin that He committed. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And He would go to the cross and He would die for every one of my sins. Every one of Daniel's sins. Every one of Bob's sins. Every one of Larry's sins. Every one of Bob's sins. Every one of our sins He would take on Himself and He would die on Calvary for those sins. Unbelievable story. Unbelievable story. that the Son of God, who knew no sin, would take all of our sins upon himself and die in our place. Unbelievable story. I mean, just stop and think about it. It's an unbelievable thing that God did for every single person. Hey, look, not just for the good people. Not just for the people that, for every single person. I don't care what kind of history you have today. I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care what kind of childhood you have. I don't care what kind of things you've been mixed up in. It doesn't make any difference this morning. God loves you for who you are. God sent Jesus to die for you, for who you are. Not just for the preacher, not just for the Sunday school teachers, but for every single person in this room this morning, God sent his Son to die for you. An unbelievable story. Just like it was unbelievable when the angels announced the birth of the Savior to the shepherds. I want you to do this morning the same thing the shepherds did. If you want to go back to the routine, if you want to go back to what you got to go back to next week, you need to do the same thing the shepherds did. They heard this message from the angels and they said, I'm going to go see. I'm going to go see. I've heard this unbelievable message from God that he sent by the angels. I'm going to go into Bethlehem and I'm going to see this thing which God has told us about. I read that this week and I thought about when two men in John chapter 1 were following Jesus, and Jesus noticed them follow him. And he turned around and said, what do you guys want? And they said, well, we want to see where you live. Remember what Jesus said? Come and see. Come and see. And then later on in that same first chapter, when one of the disciples went and found Nathanael. And Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And the disciple said, come and see. Come and see. Hey, I've told you an unbelievable story this morning. I've told you the story that God loves every single person, regardless of what we've done, regardless of who we are. He loves every single person. I invite you to do the same thing the shepherds did. Come and see. Come and see. Take God. God has given to every single person enough faith to come and see. To come and see. You say, hey, preacher, do you think all these shepherds really believed everything the angels told them? I don't know. But they come and saw. They come and saw. And when they saw that little baby lying there in a manger, and when they talked to Mary and Joseph and heard the story of his birth, of I don't think they couldn't help but go away believing that he was the Savior. This morning, I want you to come and see. Say, hey, This is the first time I've heard this story about how God loves every person. This is the first time I've been exposed to this truth. Some of you can say, this is the 100th time I've heard it. And again, I want to say to both groups, come and see. Come and see. You've tried to live your life apart from God up until this point. Why don't you come and see? Why don't you just give God a chance? Why don't you just come and taste and see, as the book of Psalms says, if the Lord isn't good. Why don't you just see if God will keep his promise. Why don't you just give God a chance. See, a lot of people think, well, I can't come to Christ. I can't get saved because I don't feel it. You tell me what chapter and verse that's in. There's nothing in the Bible about feeling it. Coming to Christ is taking an act of faith that says, I've heard what the message from God. I'm going to come and see. I'm going to see if it's true. I'm going to see if it's true where God says, if I trust Jesus, if I receive him, I'm going to see it, like Brother Wendell talked about a moment ago, if he makes a difference in my life. I don't want to face all the trials of life by myself. I want to see if God really will be there for me. I mean, I can read it in the Bible. I can show you scripture after scripture just what he was talking about. That he'll never leave us or forsake us. That he knows what tomorrow will bring. But it won't do you any good until you come and see. I can tell you about it, but until you experience it for yourself, it won't make a bit of difference to you. Come and see. Come and see. Just give God a chance. See if God won't keep his promise. That's what the shepherds did. They heard this unbelievable message from God. So we're going to go see. We're going to go see if God is telling us the truth. And they came and they found the little baby just like God told them they would through the angels. I can't guarantee many things, but I can guarantee one thing. If you come to Christ, he'll in no way turn you away. Say, well, Brother Darrell, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been into. Doesn't matter. God loves you just the way you are. And he sent Jesus to die for you just the way you are. And all he wants is a chance. All he wants you to do is come and see. You might say, well, I don't know the whole story. I don't know how to believe it. All you got to do is give God a chance. Come and see. And taste that he's good. So they met the Savior. You can do the same thing this morning. You can meet him. You say, well, I didn't come prepared to do that. I don't think the shepherds were prepared to meet the little baby that night either. You can meet him. There's a second thing that they did that allowed them to go back glorifying and praising God. They told other people about him. When they came into the city of Bethlehem and they found Jesus lying in a manger, there's a verse there that says, and they made known abroad all the sayings that the angels told them about this child. Hey, Dick, let me tell you. We got a visit from an angel. We went into Bethlehem. We found exactly what the angels told us. I mean, I think they were excited about it. Daniel, you never believe it. We went in there. We found the little baby just like the angel said. Dave, you just won't believe it. We saw it. We saw it with our own eyes. Yeah. There's not a better cure for depression than telling somebody about Jesus. Amen? Not a better cure for if you're worried about going back to what you got to go back to next week, pick up a couple, three tracks on the way out this morning and give them to somebody this afternoon. Just pick up a couple, three tracks. Say, I don't know how to talk to people. Well, then just give them a track and tell them about Jesus. Not a better cure for a depression. And then real quickly, the third thing that allowed them to go back rejoicing, praising, and worshiping God, they knew that God had set in motion his kingdom. You see, they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the one that was going to come back and set up his kingdom on earth. And they didn't quite understand it all. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it all today. I got the whole Bible. But they knew that God had set in motion the plan to bring the Messiah. One of the best things, another best thing, cure for depression, is remembering that Jesus is coming back. Coming back. Coming back. Maybe today. I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want you to answer this question in your mind. How many of you got up this morning expecting Jesus to come back today? I didn't. I got up, took a shower, got dressed, read my Bible readings. But I didn't say to myself this morning, you know, Jesus could come back today. But you know what? He could. He could. We're not waiting for anything else to happen. The rapture is the next thing that's going to happen, and every Christian could be gone before choir practice tonight. Good. Good. And if we keep in our hearts and minds that he is coming back, we glorify and praise God as well. So, sooner or later, maybe tomorrow for some, maybe for another week or so for others, you're going to have to go back to the routine. How are you going to go back? Are you going to get caught up like many in the world and go back depressed? Or are you going to go back glorifying and praising God? You can go back glorifying and praising God, but you won't do that unless you come to know Him. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and again, I just want, what's keeping you? What's standing in your way? Why can't you just come and see and give God a chance to show you that He'll keep His promises? Why can't you just do that? This morning I'd ask you to do that. If you're here and you're not saved, I'm going to ask you in just a moment as we stand to come forward. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible all the promises of God about what we need to do to receive Him as our Savior. If you'll do that this morning, I guarantee you, He won't turn you away. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Wonderful, wonderful, unbelievable story of how much You love us and sent Jesus to die for us. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that have never taken Him up on that. They've never taken that first step that says, hey, I'm going to just put the promises of God to a test. I'm going to see if He'll keep His word. And I pray for that man, that woman, Father, that's here this morning, that's never taken that step toward Jesus. I pray this morning would be the morning they do that. They would decide with their will that they're just going to give Jesus a chance and come and see if He'll keep His promises. Maybe it's their first time here. Maybe it's their 100th time here. It doesn't make any difference. The invitation is open to every single person. And I pray, Father, again, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, this morning will be the time that they make that decision to receive Him. Father, I pray for the Christians out of here. Maybe there's some here that need to be baptized. Maybe there's some here that You're talking to about joining the church. And I pray, Father, that as the Holy Spirit speaks, we would be obedient. We would just do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Bless the invitation. Use it as You see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.